Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. God gave him the kingdom. America is in a mess. There's nobody in here that would dispute that. Christians have to be aware, however, of their outlook in these days. Now, in the Sunday school class, I have an outline. It's sketchy, but it'll do. First of all, we want to realize the scary and disturbing events in the United States and the world. Just review those for a moment. We have been lied to by our leaders and the media daily almost. One says there's no border crisis. Another says there's no inflation. They are quickly redefining recession so that they can't use that term to describe what's going to happen in America. We have lost our common... All of this is documented. We've lost our common sense regarding security, securing the border, the trillion-dollar spending sprees and inflation and indebtedness that follows from that, the Green New Deal. California just passed a law to eliminate gas cars by 2035, and that very weekend, if you kept up with the news, you found out that they had to ration electricity that weekend. And I thought, how stupid. We've lost our common sense. The high gas prices are calculated to create an outcry for electric cars so we won't need gasoline. Virginia and other states have trigger laws to do the same thing when California does what they do. Europe signed the Green New Deal and now is facing a freezing winter and an economic breakdown. It was in the news again this week that they don't know what they're going to do in Europe. China owns 191,000 acres of land in the United States. China owns that. In July, they bought 300 acres 20 miles from our Air Force base in North Dakota. China is setting up banks in America, including in New York City, setting up their own banks. Where is our common sense? I mean, to allow one of your arch enemies to buy any part of land or set up banks in your country, you have to have kind of lost your sense of direction. Do you think that they would allow us to buy land over there and set up banks over there? I don't think so. We're in a mess, and we've lost our common sense. China controls most of the world's medicines. We know that. Rich men are pulling the strings behind the scenes, buying off leaders and media and companies, and buying votes in elections. We know that. They're underwriting the candidates that are liberal and will promote their best interest, not America's. They're cramming transgender and LBQRSTU down our throats and infiltrating our schools with the doctrine. The threat of gun control looms over us. The danger of our aged electric grid failing makes you think about securing an alternative source of power, and they encourage you to do that. They propagate the critical race theory, the CRT, to divide our country. They want it taught in our schools, and some schools have already adopted books to teach this. And all of that is to divide our country more. BLM can terrorize cities and leaders, and we do nothing to stop them, but we magnify January the 6th. They want to defund the police so that thugs can run the streets and fear can be struck in the hearts of Americans. The price of fuel has skyrocketed, especially diesel, unbelievable price for diesel right now. I'm glad I don't have Big Faye. Good night. Wouldn't be able to afford to drive it from our house to the church. But Big Faye was our motorhome, diesel motorhome. The supply chain of goods is being interrupted and made expensive by the high diesel prices for our trucks and trains to transfer all of our goods. A rail strike is scheduled for November the 19th. If you think our goods are interrupted right now, empty shelves will create fear and initiate panic as we lose availability of products and food. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum wrote The Great Reset. And all of this is documented. This is no hearsay to it. Their socialistic plan is to eliminate elected government from running countries and let the corporations establish the policies that they like, and such as they did with the vaccine. That was a corporation decision, and you lose your job if you don't get a vaccine. Those mandates are mask mandates. When you go into Walmart, that's a corporation, and they required it. I went into Best Buy. They required it early on, and I had quite a discussion with one of their leaders. They want to assign each person a number that reflects their acceptance of environmental, social, and governance policies. It's called ESG, or it's called the Davao Plan, Davao, Switzerland, where the WEF met. Or in other words, your acceptance of global warming, abortion, transgender, electric cars, and social policies will be under scrutiny, and you'll be assigned a number for how you accept those things. And already Citibank has signed on to this, as has one of the other big banks. It's not Wells Fargo yet, but they all will sign on to this. They'll have to. Merrill Lynch is posting your ESG score based on your investments, so they'll evaluate your investments according to ESG. Banks are adopting the ESG scoring to determine who their employees will be and loans that they will give, and corporations will determine who their employees will be according to your ESG score, may not be able to get a job. According to your number, you'll be able to shop and be allowed to fly or travel by car from state, even from state to state. This is what China started about 4 years, 5 years ago. I read it in Dr. Cloud's Friday update, and now it's being perpetrated all across the world. And America is slow to pick it up, but they're picking it up. The WEF plans chips to be implanted in pills and shots to give them a report of our compliance in case there's another pandemic. I wonder if you can see the precursor of the 666. National debt will make us ripe for full-blown socialism with Obamacare, which we almost have right now. With Obamacare, most have to look to the government for health care, and Obamacare is limiting treatments for those who are over 80. That doesn't give me a very good, secure feeling, I got to tell you, as I'm knocking on the door. None of this is conspiracy theory. I want you to understand this is not conspiracy. It's all documented. In fact, they are not ashamed of it. They are bold-faced. They've lost their blush. And they're putting it out in videos of what they plan to do. It's happening right now. With America's moral breakdown, we've all wondered when God would judge America. Brethren, these are judgments from God on a people that have forgotten God. Now, remember that God gives a nation the leaders it deserves, a reflection of who they are. As Americans, our constitutional rights and way of life are in serious jeopardy. So first we realize that we're in a scary time. But secondly, we want to remember this morning in Sunday school, the bulk of our lesson will be on this. We need to remember who's in charge. Who's in charge? Sometimes we get the feeling that Washington's in charge. Then we realize they're not in charge. There's big money people in behind all of this stuff, and we think that they're in charge. But it's not true. According to the Scripture, we need to bring ourselves back into the reality in the light of the Bible that this is a fabulous time to be alive. A wonderful time to live. Why? Because we know who's in charge. We're the ones who know who's in charge. Our great God is in charge of everything. And He hasn't lost control. He wasn't taken back by the election Tuesday or any other election. He's not taken back by the things that I mentioned in there because He's in charge. He knows what's going on. And because it's fabulous because light shines the brightest in a dark time. And so our lights can shine for the glory of God in this time. It would be a scary time. No doubt about it. If you're out there and you don't know God. But we know God. And so we can see it. We can understand that it's bad. But our God has purpose. And He has a purpose in all of it. Psalm 75 and verse 7 says, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." How can He do that? Because He's in charge. Our God is in charge. They're not in charge. He's in charge. Daniel 2:21, "And He changes the times and the seasons." That's how powerful He is. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Remember that. What we know about our great God. Our God is not taken off guard by anything on the horizon. He setteth kings up to establish His purposes. He has a purpose in everything that you see going on. Just because you don't see it doesn't matter. God has a purpose. He sees it. Who is our God who in the midst of these mounting problems? Well, in our text, in Daniel 5:18, the Bible says He is the Most High God. The Most High God. Daniel and the three Hebrew children lived in a wicked day too. Their country had already been conquered, if you remember. Many of their people had been moved 650 miles away to a foreign land. Talk about fearful circumstances. No one there spoke Hebrew or worshiped their God. That's where they were taken. But in that atmosphere, we see their boldness to talk about their great God. In that atmosphere, in that foreign country, in the dark days of their lives, they were still talking about the God of light all the time. I want you to see it. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3. That's what we need to do in this evil day. There's no doubt that it's evil. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God." How do you know that? He watched their lives. He heard them talk. He knew that they were servants of the Most High God. In this wicked time in their lives, they still made it known that they were servants of the Most High God. He says to them, "Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. and God worked a miracle in their behalf. I'm persuaded to believe if we need it, God will work a miracle on our behalf through these days. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18, our text again. O thou king, and he's talking about Belshazzar now. This is King Belshazzar. The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. In other words, the Most High gave him the kingdom. Skip down to verse 21. Daniel 5:21. In the middle of the verse, they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that, oh, here it is, till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar had boanthropy. I'm not sure I pronounced it right, but he believed that he was an ox. And so God let that happen so that he could come to the conclusion that he didn't rule in the kingdom of men. The Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. God will go to any end to get his message across to us if we're going to be hard-headed about it, and Nebuchadnezzar had been. As we face these things, could I ask you this morning, how big is your God after all? How big is he? God let Job know how great he was. In Job 38 and 39, you'll read about it. He says things like, well, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Well, that gets right to the meat of the matter. Our God laid those foundations, and Job was nowhere to be found. And neither was Nebuchadnezzar, and neither was anybody in Washington. Our God is the Most High God. Demons recognized Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. Look at Mark chapter 5. I want you to see this, that this has been a theme throughout Scripture. It says in 5:7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Even the demons knew. He knew who God was, knew who Jesus was, and that God was the Most High God. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. One damsel recognized Paul and Barnabas as servants sent by the Most High God. It says in Acts 16:17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are men, the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, they didn't want her to do that, but she was making a spectacle. But she did know something, and what she knew was that they were servants of the Most High God. Now, this was a day of persecution of Christians. It was a day when it wasn't popular to be a Christian. And sometimes they had to go into hiding. But she knew that they were servants of the Most High God in that difficult day, no doubt about it. Even in evil times, others must recognize us as the servants of the Most High God. They got to know about our God. They got to know how high He is, how strong He is. This world is winding up. We don't make predictions of when or dates or anything like that. We don't believe in that. We believe the Bible, in fact, teaches against that. But we also know that He taught us to watch the signs and watch the evidences of the things coming to pass. Now is our redemption nearer than when we first believed. We believe Jesus will soon appear, and the rapture will take place, the rapture of all believers in Christ. And that is no joke. evil, crooked men think that they are shaping the events today in the world, in our country. But it is our God who is shaping events so that they will lead to the prophesied end time events, including the rapture, the horrific 7-year Great Tribulation, the second coming of Christ at Armageddon, and the Christ millennial reign on the earth, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. He'll rule in righteousness and peace for 1,000 years. Subsequently, we'll have the great white throne judgment and the new heaven and the new earth. And all these things are going to be trigger events that are going to happen one after the other. And our God is shaping everything up for what He said in His Word to occur. You can bank on that. God is accomplishing His will, and we get to see it all unfold before us. That's a privilege. This isn't a detriment. We shouldn't have our heads down. We ought to have our heads up and look to God and see what He's doing and rejoice, because our redemption draweth nigh. It's a fantastic time to live. And remember, God's people have fervently been under persecution and bondage throughout history. Israel was in bondage to Egypt, 400 years? During the judges, and that's in round terms. During the judges, Israel was in and out of bondage to different nations. Every time that they resorted to doing what was right in their own eyes, according to the book of Judges, that they went into bondage, they were conquered by a different nation throughout the book of Judges. After the kings, God's people were in bondage in Assyria and Babylon, 650 miles away from home. When Christ was born, God's people were in their homeland, but under Roman rule. And so they were in bondage again. In fact, they thought Jesus came to get them out of the Roman rule bondage. For hundreds of years, Christians were in bondage during the Dark Ages. They didn't even have copies of the Bible in that day. Thank God we still do. I don't know how long, but we still do. But thank God that we do. They did not. In England, Christians were persecuted and sought to start over in a free nation. And America was born. For almost 250 years, and during all of our lifetimes, all we've ever known is freedom. Boy, we can thank our forefathers for that, and thank our God for that. Part of His plan. But this has been a rare reprieve from the norm that we have enjoyed. And now we see signs of bondage returning as our leaders cave into blackmail and bribery and their own lust for power and control and riches. But that's the way the world has been most of history. That's the way it's been. But we have the Most High God to ride through the bumps and bruises of these kinds of times. It's no time to fear or to fret or to worry or complain or writhe your hands or fall apart at the seams. It's time to be encouraged that our God rules. Our God rules. He's truly got the whole world in His hands. We used to sing that as a kid. But now you really get the import of it. Our God has the whole world in His hands. We're on the winning side, can I remind you? We can cry out to Him for help. We have access through Jesus' name. We can be a witness to others that we are not fearful. For we have God, and we know what's coming. They don't know what's coming. We know what's coming, because God told us in the Bible. So be encouraged, saints. I know I started out pretty bleak there, but the message always starts out bleak. Man has sinned. That's bleak. Man's going to go to hell. That's bleak. But Jesus died. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's good. And that we can confess Christ and then call on the name of the Lord and we shall be saved. That's good. So it starts out bleak, yes. We got to know the bleakness to appreciate the good. All right. Now, realize the scary and disturbing events in the United States and in the world. Remember, however, who is in charge? Our great God. And finally, last point, respond in this scary but fabulous time. Respond. Realize, remember, and respond. Well, what must we do as we hear and see these events coming to pass? As we hear the threats and what they plan to do, what must we do? Number one, don't let the media and the world news discourage you. It'd be better, just shut them off. The slanted news, turn that thing off. Shirley and I were listening nightly to the news, of course, during the pandemic when it first started. And the more they told, the more I thought, you know, something doesn't add up here. There's something lying going on here. These things are not scientific, as they say. And we shut the news off. Glory to God. When I shut the news off, I can focus on our great God. And I don't, it's not, we're not sticking our hands in the sand, our heads in the sand. We know what's going on, but we're not going to be shaped and molded in our thinking by those who are wicked and without God. We know what's happening. We know the times. Our focus, however, is on the Most High God and His Word. Now, we continue to serve Him in every way that we can during difficult times. Luke 19:13 says, "Occupy till I come." We've got a responsibility. We've got things that He wants us to do. Our assignment has not changed just because the world has made a left-hand turn and is getting more wicked. Our assignment's still the same. Before COVID, we could never see how the world events could lead to Christ appearing and the tribulation like we can today. I mean, you can see how it can happen and people can change in their thinking and be shaped and molded to follow along. We see it now. We could never understand how God could let America get away with the blatant sin and disregard for God and killing of babies and things like that without Him judging America. Well, remember, we're witnessing that judgment now. This is judgment. Remember, America is not in God's record of the end times. You won't find America in the end times. Therefore, something has to happen to America. Remember that America is not our final home. Heaven is our final home. According to God and the Bible, our citizenship is first and foremost in heaven. It's a godly, spiritual citizenship. God gave us America as a gift, and we ought to do everything that we can to maintain it. Amen. I'm all for it. I write to my congressmen. Some of them know me by name. I congratulated two of them on their reelection, and they've already written me back. So I don't have my head in the sand. I think we ought to do everything we can to keep what we have, but the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall stand through it all. Our citizenship is in heaven. The world is not my home. Don't forget, we're just a passing through. Don't be discouraged as a Christian by what's happening. Why? Because we serve the Most High God. High, when we're talking about that word in these verses that we've looked at, refers to His power, His authority, His sovereignty. Or in other words, our God can do whatever He wants, and nobody can stop our God from doing it. Nobody. Most High means most powerful and more than anything or anyone else. Or in other words, our God is omnipotent, all-powerful, and He is, the word actually means supreme, supreme above all else. If you're Most High, you can do whatever you want. In Isaiah chapter 54, turn there please. Isaiah 54, verse 17. God says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. He will never leave nor forsake us." Don't let the media make you fret or fear. You have God. Number two, stay close to God. What can we do in these evil days? Number one, shut off the media. Number two, stay close to God. Fortify yourself in prayer. Set aside a time for prayer every day. Shirley and I pray in the morning every day. I love my system of prayer. Joe Heidler gave me the idea for it one time when we sat down and talked about prayer. He shared with me what he had come up with, and I adapted it in my prayer life. Every day, I pray for our family members by name before breakfast. Think about who's going to pray for your family members if you don't. You're the priest of your home. You need to be praying for your family members. Every one of them, call them out to God in prayer. And God will impress you about what to pray for them. It's amazing what God impresses you what to pray about. Things that I haven't thought about at all with regard to this one or that one. And God will impress me, and later on I find out that's exactly what they were going through in their life. Because the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if we'll just pray. You don't get that leadership if you're not going to pray. Who are you praying for? How often do you pray? You pray for your family members every day? I start with my wife. She needs a lot of prayer. To live with me. I didn't mean it to sound bad. And then I pray for me. You're supposed to pray for you too. And then I pray for our family members, one by one, children and grandchildren. Then on Monday, I pray for our family and extended family, again by name and specific needs. Tuesday, I pray for the evangelistic ministry that God's given us, our helpers and our supporters, and our writing of books. Wednesday, and also areas where I really need prayer. Things that I know that I'm deficient in, that I need to shore up. I make note of those and I pray and ask God to help me in that. Wednesday, I pray for our home church, all of our leaders in the church. Pastor preached a message on that once. He says you ought to be praying for the leaders of your church. You only have one church, and that church ought to have the right kind of leadership all the way through it. It will if you'll pray. But pray that God will hold them up. So I call out the names of our staff members and our deacons and their wives and their families on Wednesday, and our preacher boys and our college students and our new converts, and the four missionaries that I pray for, and Fairhaven Baptist Church and College, and my neighbors by name, every one of my neighbors that I know by name for salvation. I know probably about 11 of them. And so we have some contact with them. And I want to see them saved. And I call them out to the throne room because God can save them or bring conviction in their lives. And I pray for, thank the Holy Spirit for open doors to show us the witness. Then on Thursday, I pray on for the needs of America and for laborers and churches that need pastors and pastors that need churches that I know of by name. Churches that need staff. Churches that need buildings. Pastors and wives with their health needs and rebellious children and rebellious Christians, adults, widows that I know of that need an encouraging word, and those persecuted by name. Where I pray for those. Friday, I pray for America because Timothy taught us to pray for those who are in authority over us. And so I pray for all of our leaders and issues, all of my state and national senators and congressmen by name, the Supreme Court of the United States, and our city leaders, and our 40 postgrads that we've met across America and some here in this church that need to find their Christian mates so that they can raise a godly family. And I thank God for our soldiers and military and our leaders, military leaders, and our EMS and our fire and our police on the front lines on Friday. On Saturday, I pray for our ministry wherever we are in the world and the Philippines and all the people that they have in their ministry, because on Saturday it's coming around to Sunday in the Philippines. And so we pray for their church and their people by name. Pray specifically. Keep track of God's answers. As God answers prayer on each day, I have a praise list for that day of things that He's answered that year on that day that we prayed specifically about. That's encouraging. Glory to God. That is exciting stuff. I love my prayer plan. And in these scary days, you need to fortify your prayer life. May not be just what mine is. You may have something different, and that's fine. But get closer to God. You're going to need that in these days. Number three, stay in the Bible privately. Stay in the Bible. It's time for us to hunger and thirst for His Word like never we have. I mean, never before. The Bible instructs us, study to show thyself approved unto God. Away with the shallowness of just reading to check something else. It's time to get in the book and read and study the book. We have the advantage. We have the intellect. We have the resources. We ought to be studying the Bible. Every believer has the privilege of studying the Bible. None of us have arrived in our Bible knowledge. We need to become a student again of the Word. Take notes on what you learn. Keep it fresh. Don't get in a rut. Take notes on sermons. We have a new book on our table on 10 ways to study the Bible. I think we only have one copy left. I have more coming in later this week, so if you want one, let me know. But that is fabulous. 10 ways to study the Bible. Let your children see you study the Bible. Show your children how to study the Bible. But you can't show them if you don't do it. In these evil days, we need to be students of the Word. What if they took away your Bible? How many verses do you have committed to memory? Be good to brush up on the ones you know and get back to a Bible memory program. Number four, stay faithful to all the church services. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we frequently use here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, listen, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see the day approaching. We see the rapture is right around the corner. We see that Jesus is coming and will soon appear in the clouds for us. And so much the more do we need to be together. Those who only come on Sunday morning need to make it a point to so much the more get here on Sunday night and get here on Wednesday night and be a part of the fellowship, not just Sunday morning. Get here more often. We ought to, number five, be ready to witness. Carry tracts. Our pastor encouraged us to have a witness on the tip of our tongue. I love that phrase, and I pray about that for myself. At all times, a witness on the tip of our tongue. Reach out to others spiritually during this time. Brother, we may live in fearful times. It's no doubt that we do, but our mission has not changed. How will they know that we serve the Most High God unless we tell them who He is and live the life? Though everyone in your neighborhood and family is upset about daily events, they could notice your calmness, your attitude, that you're not, yes, you're upset, you don't like it, but you've got control. You understand something that they don't. They could see that in you, and that could open a door for you to witness to them. And finally, get serious about raising your children for Christ if you have children in the home. I mean more serious than ever before. Set your house in order, train them like never before, intercede for them like never before. I'm sure there's a lot more that could be said on this topic this morning, but be encouraged, saints. In these scary times, and I'm not discounting that they are scary, the Most High God is our God. And the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.